Okay.
Welcome to the Permaculture Pimp Cast with your host, the Permaculture Pimp Daddy and the Pasture Raised Pimp. Get your recommended daily allowance of permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Tip a pimp. Stay alert, stay alive. Permaculture is my passion. All right, welcome to episode 144 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, the only pimp cast on planet Earth, where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, y'all, if you're wondering where the music's at, well, every single episode so far, we get flagged, demonetized, you name it. And it's just a matter of time before they just kick us off. So, yeah, so we don't have the normal intro music. I guess we can do that on the podcast version.
Yeah, it's on the podcast episode. If you listen to it on whatever podcast streamer you use, you can hear the intro music there.
Yeah, so welcome everybody that's coming in tonight on YouTube. We're here live on a couple of different channels. So as always, y'all, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Yeah, a little announcement. I'm going to be talking to one of the owners of that company, Clayton. I was on the phone with him today, and I'm really looking forward to that because this guy is wicked smart when it comes to what's going on in the food system out there. Look, this isn't about trying to sell product or anything like that, y'all. I mean, if it were anything about that, I'd be into the fear-mongering thing like so many former homestead channels have started to do on YouTube. You know, they used to be homesteading, and then when they realized the algorithms favor you if you go ahead and do the fear thing, no, that's not it. This guy is so connected to what's going on out there in the food system, and I think everybody ought to know about it. So, yeah, be sure to tune in to that on Sunday. I think it's going to be about 6 p.m. So, yeah, definitely be in there for that. Thanks, everybody in the chat. Hey, if you would, go ahead and hit a thumbs up because it tells them right off to go ahead and suppress us.
Yeah, so check this out. So on my phone, it says six people are watching right now, but on the computer, it says 61 people are watching right now. There isn't that big of a delay in this.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going on.
Yeah, are you looking at it on the channel?
Okay, so on my phone, it's on the Permapastures Farm YouTube channel. And on the computer, it's streaming through StreamYard. So StreamYard is showing me the collective number, and this one is just showing me the Permapastures Farm number, but the Permapastures Farm number is always higher than the Permaculture Pimpcast number.
How about that?
But apparently only six people are watching on this end.
Yeah, who knew, y'all?
That's wild.
So, yeah, hey, shows you arrived. So anyway, yeah, Heaven's Harvest, y'all, if you need anything over there, they got just about everything over there. So everything you can't source yourself, and I emphasize that, y'all, at the end of the day, it's always going to be less expensive if you take some of the advice we've given you before about your beans and bullets, your dry goods, stuff like that you can put back. Always try to source that yourself at some of the big box stores if you can. There's also outlets out there where you can buy like 100-pound bags of beans and stuff. We hit them up. We've hit them up for years. And
Hayes Food Products down in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah, it's around those parts. Yeah. And so always source all this stuff yourself. You're going to save a pile of money. But the things you can't do, let's say you don't have a freeze dryer, be sure to go over there and check that out. So, you know, for the things you can't do yourself, remember, always do it yourself. Your money's going to stretch further, and everything you can't get, go check them out at Heaven's Harvest. And if you would also, if you're not watching us live right now on YouTube, you can always listen to us on a app called the Fountain app. And the cool thing about the Fountain app is, well, I mean, there's so many good things. You can tip us in a form or a derivation of a Bitcoin called Satoshi. I can never get that word right. Or sats. That's what they call them. So anyway, if you want to drop some SATs on some PIMPs, you know where to do it over there on the Fountain app. I always point wrong. And by the way, for the folks that are coming in, if you're wondering what this sign is you see behind me, yeah, PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. I know we got a lot of new people out here, and there's some people that have been appalled because they didn't yet know. And then when I told them it was an acronym, they're like, okay, bro, you really ought to start the show that way.
You know what's funny is that sign was actually made in Iran.
What?
Yeah, the sign. So what? Whoever neon artist lives in Iran was probably thinking, "What the heck am I making?"
Wow! Now we're going to be called terrorist sympathizers. I mean, and yeah, go ahead, hit me with your best shot. It's coming. I know it. Hey, once again, thanks everybody in that chat. And like I said, if you're new coming in, just hit that thumbs up. Like I said, so they know straight up to suppress us right off the bat. All right, we're going to have some pretty shocking news, I think some people are going to say, but it's really not. That's going to be in the main topic today. But right off the bat, we'll give you a little update on the farm news. So I was out there making compost extract today. If you don't know what that is, I'm going to have a video coming up. I think it's tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to show you how you can take that little bit. I've done a video similar to it before, but I'm wanting to go in a little bit more detail and explain, because so many people complain like, dude, you left out half the process. Well, I'm going to give you the whole process, and it is uber easy. So if you got some good compost, and let's just say you might be infirmed, and let's say you don't have a whole lot of compost out there, or let's say you're injured or whatever the case may be, I'm going to show you how you can take a tiny bit of compost and make it go an incredibly long way by leveraging a few things. So I'm going to be covering that today, tomorrow. Anyway, that's one of the things I was working on today. My man Bowen's in the house from Thunderstick Homestead. Y'all go check him out.
Yeah.
My man's got a serious chicken set up. And honestly, it is absolutely impressive. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I can't see. Oh, Bill Zegley's in here. What's up, my man? Yeah, sorry, y'all. I'm doing all the shout-outs because I'm seeing a lot of people in here. I know Vicky's in here, a whole lot of other folks. Sorry I missed so many of you. This thing's just too far away, and these old eyes can't see it all the time.
William Zegley said, so the Ayatollah supports the pimp cast. Good on him.
No, the Ayatollah's dead, but the heart's not gone. The burning of the flag in Iran goes on. Yeah, that's some of that old school stuff. Anyway, so other things going on today. Like I said, it's nonstop mulching. We're in something of a drought here, but you'd never know it. That's another thing we're going to display in tomorrow's video, how everybody around us right now is brown and gray. It's not a matter of bragging or anything. It's just showing you that when you put that organic material down into your soil, it makes all the difference when you're in drought. And so while everybody else is around here is brown, we're green for the most part, except for some of the silvergrass that's been popping up in some of the places that still need some help. Other things going on, the sheep are not in the pasture. Right now, I got them. I have this area stockpiled for the winter. Here's the deal, though. It's so doggone steep that by the time I would have these, I should have planned for this a little bit better. I mean, folks, I'm talking like an angle like yeah. This.
Far too steep for swales. Yeah. Like you would have to do terraces.
Yeah, but these sheep can manage it, but they're all pregnant right now. And I'd rather them go ahead and beat this thing down at this time while they're still, you know, early in the pregnancy. I'd rather them do that now just in case there's any kind of weird thing going on than later on when they're really close to popping. So they've been bred at the beginning of November. Yeah, was it? Yeah, the beginning
yeah,
of November.
It was, yeah, it was
a few days earlier.
I thought it was still October. It was before the baby was born.
Well, right? It was late October. Yeah, it was like... It was late October, yeah, yeah. So he got in there a little bit earlier than we expected, but not too big a deal. But I wanted to go ahead and get them on this very, very steep terrain long before they're late in their pregnancy. So that's something else we're working on right now. And they're in a spot it's tough to get to. I mean, it's hard enough to walk up and down, but these guys can do it. So that's why we're doing more of the sheep thing, because cattle, I don't care what cow you have, they can't manage a slope like this. Goats, obviously, no problem whatsoever. And these hair sheep, it's really something of an experiment. They've done it before, but I just want to see how this new batch is going to work out on there. So that's why it's exclusively.
Well, this is the first time it's been grazed since considerable clearing, though, with sheep.
Yeah. So now they're going to go through, and this is going to be one of those things, y'all. If you're trying to recover an area, we're going to show you, hopefully, step by step, how we go through it. Right now, it was a bunch of thorns and thistles in there, okay? That's an open indication that your ground's jacked up from the feet up. So when you have a situation like that, when your ground is really messed up, you go through, you can run your pigs through first, because we couldn't even run sheep up there. There were so many thorns and thistles. That's an open indication that everything is messed up. So after the thorns and thistles, we run the sheep through. And then now your next species, as the ground improves, you're going to see it go from a woodier species into something that's getting closer and closer to grass. So the problem is that we have up there, and you have this in a lot of places, that when you have a lot of thorns and thistles, guaranteed it's highly bacterial. You have no fungal life in there to speak of, which is exactly what you need in a pasture. You want at least a 50-50 mix, fungal and bacteria. And there's a whole lot of other stuff in the soil food web that I'm not talking about. But to achieve that, we're in that intermediate stage. So it's not going to happen overnight, but you do see the improvement. Like in front of the house, I mean, it was all thistles and briars. Yeah.
And trash.
Yeah. And yeah, the previous people,
trees.
Man, they threw trees out there with the ornaments still on them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's that transition. So don't get discouraged that just because you went in there and knocked everything down, that you're going to see an immediate transformation. Now, you can speed it up with one of the methods I'm going to show you tomorrow. And I'll be honest with you, we've done this for a long, long time, just using nothing but animals. But bringing to bear this method of compost extract on top of it is kicking this stuff. I mean, we're getting like a year's progress in just a few months in terms of recovery. So it's something else.
It's like, instead of you going through the long process of having your animals go through graze season after season and inviting the organisms to come, you're just putting the organisms straight up like on the ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, and they're getting into the ground and you're kicking up your recovery so much faster. We've done it before with animals, but like I said, this is like quadruple the speed at which it recovers.
Yeah.
And you just got to learn some techniques. You got to get some good compost. Watch the video tomorrow. I'm going to explain it in detail, in much better detail, exactly how we go about doing it. Now, it's always best if you do this sort of thing after a rain, but we haven't had any rain for a while. So what I do is try to get it at a time where there's going to be a little bit of cloud cover. So this stuff isn't just going to evaporate when it hits the ground. But plus, the ground is covered enough. Jim Garrish 101, y'all, the ground's covered enough to where it's just not going to immediately evaporate. And right. If it were a situation where I was dealing with bare ground, well, that's where I'd throw some straw and hay out there.
Some carbon.
Yeah. You just put that carbon on the ground. Believe it or not, you just cool that soil off a little bit, and you will be shocked at what's going on. What are you laughing about?
Yeah, it's all good. Just the chat is funny. that's it.
All right.
That's funny.
All right. Well, some other things going on around here. Want to give everybody a little update now.
I will say, apparently quite a few people are going through like a similar drought. A couple people have had drizzle, but that's about it.
Yeah. Thanks everybody coming in. Like I said, hit that thumbs up once again. Tells everybody to suppress us. But anyway, we got a lot of good stuff here. I wanted to give everybody an update on some of the other work I was doing in terms of grounding. I did a video on Patreon on this DIY grounding for your bed. So instead of spending $300, which is what they want for a grounding mat, if you don't know, I'm also a 25-year journeyman electrician with the IBEW. So I know my way around electric work, okay? And this DIY version that I've done of it is more effective, and it's a fraction of the cost. So just to give everybody an update on that, and I'll do it again on Patreon, I'll go into more detail as far as what the latest is. So I basically got some copper fabric, stick it under your fitted sheet, grounded it in its own ground rod. And there's a reason for that. Eric Sider hooked me up with this, this video of all the impedance and some of the other things that were going on. If you just use a regular ground at the light socket. So I ran a separate ground. So I'm doing that. I'm doing this intentional breathing, which is dynamite. I mean, your mom turned me on to this guy named Breathing with Sandy. He's on YouTube. And good night, man. I did some, in fact, right before I started this. He's got a breathing regimen for anybody. If you think it doesn't work, go give it a shot. I'm serious. This stuff works. Now, you're not going to check me digging into this Kundalini or any of that kind of stuff, but I will get down with some of this energy breath work. And I'm feeling, despite the fact that my diet is absolutely awful because it's getting cold and your mom's tripping.
Yeah, she's been baking like crazy. There was a apple pie, and as soon as that disappeared, there were English muffins?
Yeah, she made some not just English muffins. What were they?
Sourdough.
Sourdough. She does. So she'll make it better by making it sourdough, of course.
Yeah.
And which I have no reaction, negative reaction to anything sourdough. Everything is good. I'm doing everything I should, except I'm not working out like I should, which I'm going to kick off here before too long. And I'm not eating the way I should. So I told her, look, Thanksgiving rolls around. It's back. is back on the grindstone. I mean, she wants everybody fat but her.
Yep.
It's been that
every
way.
Animal, every human but her.
And she's the only one that doesn't eat this stuff. So yeah. So anyway, the Homestead Honey, she's something else. But also another thing I've been doing is, should have been doing it for the longest time, and it's been making a difference in terms of my sleep. I know this is going to sound crazy to some of you out there, but turning off the Wi-Fi and putting the cell phones in Faraday bags. I'm for real. The one day I didn't do it, I forgot to put my cell phone in a Faraday bag and didn't ground the bed, is the one day I woke up with a headache. Every other night, man, I'm sleeping like $1 million. So, I mean, is it the, you know, so is it turning off the Wi-Fi, getting rid of the cell phone, the grounding? I've been doing some, not only grounding the bed, but also doing at least 15 minutes of grounding on my bare feet out on the ground. Folks, I got to say, it's making a difference. And the cool thing is every bit of that is practically free. The DIY thing I show you on Patreon, I mean, it costs, I mean, you can do this one version for 13, well, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 at the most, maybe $50. But if you're going to spend $300 for that that highfalutin version that I know for a fact doesn't work as good as the DIY. So,
yeah,
if anybody wants that, go check it out. It's copper fabric. It's simple. I'm not going to sleep directly on it, but you right. still get you the benefit it. Of it through your fitted sheet as long as it's made out of some kind of natural fiber. We got cotton sheets, but I prefer silk touching this body. Yeah.
So you can just be over there slipping and sliding and sweaty.
Man, yeah, I don't need to put silk, man. Your mom, I got about that much of the bed, and she's up here like got her foot in my back half the night anyway, trying to kick me out. I don't need to make it easier.
Yeah.
Were you gonna say something?
Oh no, I'm just looking through the comments. Agape Field says, my sweet mama baked and cooked the best food, and she didn't eat the sweets or breads and was thin all her life.
Yeah. Yeah, they do this for some, they do this for every, she wants everybody fat but her. And that's been the story of my life. All right. Hey, y'all, check this out. I talked about the kosher salt last week and I said we couldn't find it anywhere.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Good night, man. I had no idea how many of you guys are so fantastic and wonderful. Not only told us where to go to get some of this stuff online and otherwise, some even offered, hey, I'll pick you some up and send it down. And then Stephen and Michelle and the Tornadoes, Stephen Jr. and Soap, yeah, they sent a picture and everything. They even sent some salt in the mail. I was like, because I know your mom ended up finding some. And I was like, when I opened it up, I was like, dude, Amazon, what is up with this?
Yeah.
You're sending pictures now? I thought, I just assumed it was Amazon.
Stephen Jr. looks like he had to get wrangled for that picture.
Yeah, he's like, man, come on, dude. I don't want to take this salt picture. But hey, thanks so much, Stephen and Michelle. I mean, yeah, you guys are wonderful. We ended up, you know, at the bakery where we get our stuff for the pigs and the chickens and stuff. They actually had some on the shelf. This bought the best burger in Asheville. I went over there and helped him out on this food truck. He had basically a food truck. Well, the name of the food truck is called Smashville Burger. Okay. Well, anyway, this network of people that I've been kind of getting to know around here, I'm getting to know a lot of chefs, and I'll talk about another one here in a minute. They've been hitting me up like every time they got some electrical problem, I'm like, hey, y'all, I ain't really in the business no more. And then I get over there and then I'm like, OK, you know, I'll just say what's up to the, you know, I'll go out there, see what's going on. Look, man, I don't have a whole lot of time, but I happen to be heading that way. Stop by real quick, saw the problem right off, and they were about to set this place on fire.
Oh, damn.
So with about, I don't know, maybe 15 minute repair, I got him up and running. Because this, you know, this little rat they had doing the electric work before had no idea what he was doing and they couldn't get this thing working. So this guy was so thankful. He's like, look, man, free burgers for life. I'm like, okay, man, my wife's already trying to get me fat. He's like, free burgers for life. And dude, Smashville Burger, if you're ever in the Asheville area, oh my goodness, man.
Where do they park?
Shoot, you're going to have to look it online, y'all. I know this much. I went to his house and, you know, I had to go to town anyway. So I'm like, dude, I'm not going out of my way. I don't know you, first of all. And then second of all, I just look, I'll go by. If it's something I can fix quickly, I will. I looked at it, saw it was a wreck. Didn't take that long to fix. Got him off and running. And he was like, yeah, dude, we took it someplace. And the guy said, the whole thing's going to burn down. I'm like, yeah, that's what happens, man, when you don't put this stuff in right.
Yeah, so, you're right. It was about to burn down.
Yeah, you're about to burn everything down. But it was cool to get them squared away. But, you know, I had no expectation. I was like, dude, you pay for the parts and we'll just call it square. And he was like, no, man, for real. Let me come out and help you at the farm. And I'm like, no, really, it's cool. Then he says, okay, what if I give you burgers for life? I'm like, yeah, this is like the best. The dude's telling me, I mean, this guy is a freaking alchemist. That's one thing I do love about this place is people are so incredibly passionate about their food. I mean, like, they may be crazy as a three-headed cat, y'all, but they know how to make some biscuits.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. I mean, these guys are all about this burger. They're talking about all the ribeye they put in there, how they got to go and source this meat. Because I'm like, dude, what are you guys doing to this thing that makes it taste so fantastic?
Who was it that said they want a liberal chef and a conservative accountant? Was it that said that? There's some famous quote somewhere.
I don't know.
About right.
As long as, I mean, I'm looking at this truck and it's like nobody's there. This thing's immaculate. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm glad I was eating off this thing. So yeah, now they know my name. And now, folks, it's just like that. This is what I was getting at before. Now I just built a relationship with no expectation of anything. I just did it, you know, just to help out somebody. And in fact, it was another chef friend of mine that say, hey, can you hook him up? And I was like, yeah, I'll go take a look at it. But now look what door I just opened.
Yeah.
Not the free burgers thing, but now, if I ever needed more stuff, if one of my other sources dried up, I now have his business and all the businesses he knows to get their food scraps. And when I'm talking food scraps, y'all, this is not Burger King buns, y'all. They get brioche buns made special, organic stuff. I mean, these people, they're all about the grub, man. And so it's just little acts of kindness like that that I'm just going to reach out and tell everybody, if you can just help somebody out, do it with no expectation of reward if you can help somebody, you know, and then you'd be shocked at the boomerangs that come back to you. Just like we always talk in, you know, in permaculture, you move a step towards nature, nature will come back to you about 10 steps. Well, you go out there and just do wonderful things. You'd be shocked at how it comes back on you in really awesome ways. So, you know, just offer that kindness out there. Like Ben and Denise were on a little while ago and they had that do a random act of kindness for anybody on Friday. Maybe we should try to do this every day. Maybe we wouldn't be in the position we're in right now with all this lunatic stuff in the world. So just keep an eye out for those. So anyway, one other shout out I want to give here. There's another chef I know. He was a former physician and he was so disillusioned and fed up by the whole medical world. He became a chef and he runs Creaky Tree Cafe. Now he's out of Florida and he's actually moving up to North Carolina.
Oh,
at some point, this is the ballinest food truck I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude is a unbelievable alchemist. But anyway, I got a relationship with him now and he sent me this book. It's called Homage. Look at that thing on there. It's soul food. It's not just soul
Amish
food.
Amish soul food.
Amish soul food. And he's from the same hometown that I came from, Coatesville, Pennsylvania. Never heard of this guy before, but I was like, okay, wow, he got my attention. I look in there. Amazing how much overlays in there. So anyway, it was pretty cool to get this book in the mail from him. And thanks to everybody out there that have sent emails saying, hey, here's where you can get some of the salt. I don't have any here. I could send some to you. Man, thanks a million to all of you folks that have reached out. We had some on the way already, and now, you know, we just got put over the top. So we should be good on kosher salt until the apocalypse arrives. Which, that's good. By the way, going back to the Heaven's Harvest thing. Yeah. Anyway, I won't stay on that. All right, y'all, before we get into Pastor Lon, I want to remind you that there's a lot of big stuff going on in the world right now. I know that a lot of stuff is heavy. We've leaned away from that in the show as of late because you don't need me to tell you about any of it. The bottom line is that this stuff is happening. You got to stay alert, stay alive. You got to do all those things, but I can still do it with a smile on my face. You know, they can take everything else away, but I still got what I think is a sense of humor. All right, with that, y'all, we're going to go straight into the homesteading pastor, Pastor Lon.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, to everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. And you can read right on down to the end of verse 8, and it'll give you more examples of what the scripture is speaking about. But you think about what the scripture said. Think about the four seasons that we deal with every year, spring, summer, fall, and winter. They all change. They all bring something different. Therefore, we must be prepared to take on each one of those seasons. You think about your physical life from the time you're born to the time you die and everything in between. The seasons of life are steady and constantly changing. Therefore, we must make preparations ahead of time to be able to take on each one of those seasons and the changes in our life. You could also look at that from a standpoint of you may be living a single life, then you become married, then you have kids. Every one of those are different seasons in your life. So therefore, you need to plan ahead and be prepared to take on each season. You could even look at it from a job or career standpoint. You may start out at a job at a young age. You may become an apprentice, then move up to a journeyman. You work there long enough, you may become retired someday. All those are different seasons that we're going through, that you go through and you change, but you must be prepared for each one of them. You see, you think about change. Change is not always easy, but change in the right direction is always a good thing. And here's what I want to leave you with. No matter what we're dealing with in life, what season we're in, what changes we're going through, as long as we got Jesus Christ at the center of our life, it'll all work out like it's supposed to. So technically what I'm saying, it doesn't matter what season we're in or what changes we're going through. It matters whose hands you're in, and he will see you through no matter the season.
That's what I'm talking about. Remember, go check him out, y'all. Homesteading Pastor. Very, very suppressed. Don't get the updates anymore for some reason. Huh. How about that? And in fact, I see a number of folks in the chat here. I don't get any updates from anybody anymore, even though I'm signed up for it. I noticed that Keeper of the Old Ways was in the house earlier. Okay, there
yeah,
we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a balling festival down there in Alabama. And folks, should go check them out. You'll be glad you did. It was a really, really, it was a wonderful time down there. Really good festival. Go check them out. And I'm sure we'll be talking to them here in the near future. All right, y'all. So in the past, we used to have the bad news, good news section. Now it's all good news for obvious reasons. I mean, do you really need me to point out more of the junk that's going on in this world? I might touch on it. You know, it's funny, son. For weeks, I was sitting here saying, man, I'm going to quit talking about this. And then I wind up talking about it. Now, yeah. I finally, just like Pastor Lon was saying, you make those little gains. And by the way, that was from Ecclesiastes, not the Beatles. Yeah. What? So yeah, that's exactly what I expected from you. What Pastor Lon said, there was a Beatles song to everything.
It was
a whack song. I hated okay. it. Remember they made us sing it in school, and I remember one kid saying, "This is some bull." Yeah, I remember they're teaching us this Beatles song, and this is about the time the Beastie Boys were out there, and he's like, "Man, he yells this out in the middle of choir class," and I remember everybody was like, "Oh my goodness." Tony King was his name, but yeah, he was.
Dang, you remember his name?
Yeah, yeah, that was the least. Yeah, he was memorable. I'll put it that way. I'm pretty sure he's in somebody's witness protection program.
I was going to ask: is there any chance this gets back to him?
Well, hey, I doubt Tony
checking out permaculture now.
Unless he's farming in the hood of Northeast Oklahoma City, I'm sure that's not happening. But I remember that anyway. Oh, Keith Snow in the house too, y'all. Thunderstick, all of them, y'all. Hey, I know I'm missing a lot of folks here, but thank you so much. And like I said, if you're on the way in, hit that thumbs up. All right, so from bad news to good news, we're not doing the bad news anymore, just good news. And hopefully I won't use any of my sixth sense of humor on some of this news that's really bad, but I try to pretend like it's good. Well, we don't have to worry about that. Check this one out. Venezuelan migrant families regrets coming into the U.S. as the American dream becomes too difficult for illegals. Now, check this out. All those ones they dropped off in Chicago, I predicted this. You can go back. I don't know what episode it was.
Yeah, you did.
I said it right here. I said it. Watch. I guarantee they're going to say, put me on the first thing smoking back to Mexico or whatever.
They dropped them off in O Block. And they were looking around like, dang.
Like, it looks worse. Man, send me right back. Hey, Governor Abbott, put me back. Yeah, just like I predicted. I said, when winter rolls around, these are some very tropical people, y'all. They're not going to be like, hey, Hans, you know, it's balling up here in Chicago. I mean, it's not going to happen, dude.
Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, hey, it ain't happening. Like I said, these are tropical people. When you get some, I mean, it's fall, man. And these people are like, oh, no, man. Nobody told us this was not in Like, bro, they should have dropped me off in Miami, man. This was not the place I expected. So, my bad. Yeah. So it didn't. So I say that's good news for this reason. Look, I understand these people are coming to the United States of Amnesia. I predicted, look, y'all, if you just listened to the Pimpcast, you would have known this was a bad idea going to Chicago. So, and New York and all the other places, man, it is cold. So you're going to find that out in the worst kind of way imaginable. But the good news is that people are starting to wake up and say, hang on, man. Even the people in the hood are starting to like, hold on, man, we can't find jobs now. And you're going to bring in a bunch of you know, people up here and displace us even more. So I'm calling that good news.
Okay. This one comment is going to show us the demographic. You made a old person reference earlier with the Beatles. This comment is going to show us the demographic. How many people understand this comment right here from Fed Up? Lil Durk ran up on them and they were like, adios. How many of y'all know who Lil Durk is?
I have no idea what you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Fed Up, how old are you? That's what I want to know. I want to know how old you are.
I don't know. Lil Durk, Lil Dummy, Lil whatever, man. Was this some kind of rapper? Yeah. Man, hey.
That's why it's hilarious that they dropped him off in the hood of Chicago. They were like, they picked one of the worst places in America to drop him off.
Yeah, and you would think they're like, nah, man, just send me right on the first thing back, man. Yeah. I predicted this was going to happen. That's what you get for not subscribing. So, I mean, I'm not. Look, I got to find some kind of humor in this. I think it's, if I was down there and I was having such a bad time, I would want to come here too. But at the end of the day, man, I don't know. Hey, so I'm going to chalk that up to good news. All right, some friendlier kind of good news. All right, check this out. The benefits of nutmeg and tips for proper storage. Okay, we're not going to talk about the storage, but the reason I like this article and I call it good news is that one of the chief things that you're going to worry about for nutmeg is chronic pain. Okay, that's one of the things it's good for. But then it got me to thinking about how many other things in your spice cabinet are really, really awesome. So those are some of the preparedness items. I don't think we give enough credit to, because a lot of us that are in the preparedness space, remember, I don't call myself a prepper, never going to call myself anything that ends in ER. You know why? Because everybody in the mainstream prostitute media has managed to convince everybody that anything that ends in ER is a pejorative. You don't believe me? Birther, truther, denier, just add ER to it and they make it a bad thing. So yeah, I'm not a prepper. I'm in the preparedness. So anyway, point being is that all these things in your spice cabinet might actually have to be, they might have to have an overlay with what's in your medicine cabinet. So think about those things like turmeric. I mean, good night, man. I make my own turmeric capsules. I really do. Now, I get it from Mike Adams. I make sure this stuff isn't the kind that's mixed with a lot of carcinogenic nonsense. But anyway, think about those spices. That's why I'm calling this good news. Just go through your spice cabinet and look and see the medicinal qualities of things like, let's say, rosemary. What can that be used for? Cayenne. I guarantee you that everything in your spice cabinet also has an overlaying medicinal use. So instead of thinking that you got to put back pharmaceutical after pharmaceutical after pharmaceutical, think about how much of this stuff you can grow. Rosemary, thyme, and oregano is around every single tree that we put down there. Now, did it all survive? No. But we got stuff that is hardy, and so we'll propagate those things that did survive.
Now, so with the nutmeg comment, I would be careful with that, because whenever all those dumb kids were doing that cinnamon challenge, some of them were doing it with nutmeg, and the ones that were able to keep it down started tripping. So apparently there's like some hallucinogenic effect from nutmeg. That, well, it wasn't, I don't know what,
inhaled.
No. It was like after they swallowed it, they ingested it. Like if they were able to keep it down, they started tripping. So I don't know.
Here's your sign.
Somewhere between that amount and a little tiny piece is the safe amount.
That's what blows my mind, man. If somebody wants to go out there and do something just asinine like that, and you wind up dead on that floor.
I don't think it was killing you, people. Jack. I don't think it was killing people. I mean, they just started tripping.
Tide Pods and all this other stuff, man. I mean,
yeah.
Look, man, I'm sorry for your bad luck. Hey, it's what it is, man. Stay alert, stay alive. Not say stupid, stay alive.
Yeah.
You know, life is hard. It's even harder when you're dumb. So don't swallow Tide Pods or anything else. All right, the other good news story. Huge grain supply contract. Now, this is one of those things that might sound bad, but just bear with me. huge grain supply contract between Russia and China basically been signed. And the thing that's, and this, you probably heard this before, but there's an angle I want you to consider. Basically, China is storing up food for years and years and years, and they've done it already. In fact, what they got going on, right, they got a stockpile of food that'll blow your mind already. So remember Joseph in the Bible where he saw the seven, you know, fruitful times and then the seven lean times, 7 year, 7 years, you get the point. Well, the Chinese basically know something's going down, so they've been stockpiling gold, guns, and a getaway plan. So in addition to all that, they're throwing the food on top of it. So here's what I'm getting at. The United States of Amnesia, our government is never going to tell you that something's about to go down. Russia actually has silos for their people to go to should some nukes fall on them. You ever heard of anything like that available to you? No, you don't have it. So the point I'm getting at, the reason I'm calling this good news, is that if the Chinese are saying, hey, we're going to batten down the hatches, it's about to get real, it might get stupid, then that's a, it should be a signal to you, because you're never, look, y'all, I take in a lot of media every single day. And if you look at the news overseas compared to the news that you're getting here at home, you're not getting news. You're, as most of you're listening now because you know you're getting programming. Let me say that a different way. Didn't quite come out the way I intended. You know that if you're watching mainstream media, even a lot of the alternative media out there, they're just parrots. Their Operation Mockingbird goes all the way back to 1951 with Allen Dulles at the CIA. Yeah, I know this for a fact. It's not hard to find. So to get reliable news and preparedness news, I go to sources outside of this country when I'm looking for geopolitical information. And then believe it or not, when you're looking for it, you're like, oh, hang on, man. I see a data point here. China's stocking up. Singapore's stocking up. A lot of the Asian countries are stocking up right now. So you think they might know a little something? They might. So that's the reason I'm calling this good news, is because now you just heard it from the permaculture pimp daddy that you need to get your poop in a group. You just heard it. So make it happen. That's
the permaculture approach to good news, bad news.
Yeah.
A problem and the solution.
Yeah. So the problem is the solution. The problem is your government isn't telling you, but you're watching the solution right now. And you're in the chat with a whole bunch of people that really see where you're coming from. Look, I know we're all outliers, most of us in our neighborhoods, our communities. And then we congregate in things like this, or better still, when we're able to see each other in person. At some of these festivals, that's the biggest reason I love to go to these things, is that I feel less alone in the world when I meet so many folks out there that are doing the very same thing I'm doing. Because frankly, most of us live in areas where we are the outliers. We're not that normal. And do you think it's a good measure of health to be well adjusted to a sick society? Yeah, neither do I. All right, with that said, y'all, we're going to go to my man Eric Sider, and then we're going to come back with some news.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, permaculture livelihoods. Two common misconceptions about permaculture is that you must become a designer, teacher, or farmer to make money after taking a design course, and that making money or being successful in business goes against the ethics of permaculture. We need people in every job and industry to be thinking in permaculture principles. And as long as we live in a money-dominated society, the fastest way to help the most people is having a lot of money. I think people are afraid of money. If I had $100 million right now, I would make 100 $1 million demonstration sites. I'm not afraid of money because I'm going to follow the ethics of permaculture. So don't think you need to quit your job to pursue a permaculture career. Think how you can incorporate permaculture principles into your current job or business. Start with the biggest problem and turn that into the solution. We desperately need permaculture people in property development, finance, and law, as well as every level of government, until we make it irrelevant, of course. And the idea of having one job or career your whole life is against permaculture thinking as well. You should have 3 to 5 jobs, 1 or 2 main ones, and a few seasonal ones. Diversity of income is just as important as diversity of food. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog.
Yeah.
And you know what? Eric's one of my best friends, y'all, for a lot of reasons. And I'm right there with him. You know what? Excuse me. I remember talking to Jack Spirko one time, And, you know, he and I were hanging out. And I remember he said something that was very profound. And Jack says a lot of things that are very profound. You know, he said, you know, it's pretty hard to be generous unless you're at a point of abundance for most of us.
Yeah.
I mean, and that means everything. I mean, it could mean, you know, what you give physically. You have to be a point at which you have extra.
It's the third ethic. Abundance given to the previous two. It doesn't mean put yourself at a deficit to contribute to the previous two ethics.
Right. But, you know, exactly that point. But when he's talking about people want to demonize money out there. Now, I agree. The love of money is the root of all evil, no doubt. And the folks, I won't even go into it, but situations I currently know of or that I know of personally where people would stab that were already millionaires and would stab you in the back.
Yep.
Would stab you in the front for a quarter. I mean, it is insane as that sounds. We'll steal meat out of your freezer. I mean, it actually happened, but that's another story altogether. But the point I'm getting at, the point that Eric's really getting at, and I could do, man, I really need to get him to kind of contribute on the show advice here because I could do an entire show on that. And here's what I'm getting at when it comes to, this isn't the main topic, but I feel the need to cover this. What I'm getting at right now is that evil may come to a person with money, but tyranny comes surely to those without it. Now, I didn't write that. A guy with a whole lot of sense once did. And the point being is that I'm not a miser. I'm not any of that stuff. But like Eric, I would put out, if I had inexhaustible supplies, I know for a fact that just like Randy Travis, when they asked him, well, hey, now that you got a lot of money, what are you going to do with it? And Randy says, look, I can only wear one pair of jeans at a time. It's kind of, I mean, if I had $1 billion,
I wouldn't terraform the United States first. I had unlimited funds.
For me, nothing in my life changes. I mean, really, I do what I love already. I'm not driven by money, never have been. And we give so much away, and I'm just very, very happy with that. I love what we're able to do, but I know that I'm able to do it, whether it's giving away those three pigs we gave away, giving away all those chickens, showing people how to do all this stuff. And you don't do it for the money. I mean, YouTube ain't paying nothing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but there's so much demonization in money, and I really ought to cover that in a later episode. All right, before we get into the main topic, y'all, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Like I said, I've been a journeyman electrician for a long, long time, and I'm going to tell you, yeah, EMP is a problem, especially now. But your number one threat is going to be lightning, okay? So they're going to cover you. If anything gets blown up downstream, they're going to cover you up to 25 G's. So that's one of the reasons I reached out to EMP Shield. They didn't reach out to me. So just keep that in mind. Promo code PERMA if you should need one. And they got them for your vehicles, your generators, and all that kind of stuff. But I always talk about the one on the house because it seems to be, it's like this in the Army. When you're at a range, I remember I shot 40 out of 40 on a range one time. And I remember when it was all said and done, I got up from the firing range and I was so happy with myself, man, I got them all. And I remember the sergeant behind me saying, hey, I noticed you had a 300 meter target pop up and you had a 50 meter target pop up. Why'd you shoot the 300 first? And I said, well, I knew I could easily get to 50. He says, well, you're thinking like a competition shooter. You're not thinking like a soldier. And I remember being put out at the time. I was young at the time, but I remember being put out because he's right. You're going to deal with the most pressing threat first, which would be your 50-meter target, okay? So that's exactly, I mean, my thinking was all backwards, but it's the same exact thing when it comes to an EMP shield. You know, we're thinking about the EMP that may or may not happen, which seems more and more likely every single day when your chief threat is going to be lightning. So, yeah, definitely check that out.
Before we get in the main topic, there was a question for you specifically, Dad, and I can't find who was asking it, but it said, Billy, when was the last time you ate pork roll? Now, what on earth is pork roll? Is that a? They also commented something about Coatesville as well before that. Do you know anything about pork roll?
No, maybe. I mean, if they're talking about scrapple, I can write a book on that one, but I don't know anything about pork roll.
All right.
I mean, yeah, we were eating.
I was kind of curious myself, yeah, was it what it was?
One of the early episodes, I mean, you don't know how poor you are until you find out how poor you are. So, I mean, look, y'all, to this day, I can't eat gizzards. Excuse me. So this day I can't eat gizzards because of how I grew up. My grandma, who was raising all six of us boys at the time, would boil gizzards and livers and put them on rice. And we ate this so many times during the week, y'all. It was the nastiest thing on the planet. But you had to choke them down anyway. And it was, yeah, it was filthy. Now, somebody also asked, I don't remember. I saw the comment pop by. He said something about reaching out to the Texas boys concerning a festival down in Texas.
Southeast Texas Conference.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And they may actually be considering it. I actually spoke to them a while back about that. All right, y'all, we're going to jump into the main topic, which is so why don't you put the phone down for a minute? And yeah. Because it's going to involve you, obviously. So we're going to get into the main topic. And I know some people are wondering, hey, what's so important right now? Well, we got a big change coming around here. And some people knew about it. Some many don't. So we're just going to announce it right now. In fact, there's a Texas boys right there.
Yeah.
They know what I'm about to say. So, William, why don't you go ahead and take it away?
So me, Emily, and the baby will be moving back down to the Texas property, the permaculture demonstration site that was filmed a couple years ago at our wedding, the video called Proof Permaculture Works. We're going to be moving back to that property and reclaiming that. And we'll be starting a YouTube channel. It's going to be called The Permaculture Consultant. And I'm going to tackle that property the way I recommend most people do during these permaculture consultations. So I'm going to be following the permaculture step-by-step, what you do on a new piece of property. And we're going to be filming it, recording it, putting it up on YouTube, and stay tuned and for all that. It's going to be exciting. I'm excited for the new adventure, a little nervous, as you know, probably should be, but yeah, I'm excited.
Well, you know, as a dad and as the leader of this outfit, you know, it's a poor sort of pupil that does not surpass his master. That's what Leonardo da Vinci wrote in one of his notebooks that was later found years later. And in many ways, man, it's like I'm a Jedi right now, actually talking about Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn.
Somebody commented earlier in this episode, Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin. I like the other one, reference better. I like
better. The kung fu thing, man. Look, when you can snatch the compost from my hand, you may leave the property. No, the point of it is, y'all, yeah, sad to see him go. You know, we do have modern technology where we could get there from time to time, or maybe they can come back here. And also, you got other family back there as well. You
right, might want to
point that out.
Yeah. So my wife's side of the family, a lot of them are in the surrounding area. So the area is DeKalb, Texas, which isn't too far from the Texas boys. Dad, it's fine. It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, they already know from the previous video. But yeah, it's a very small town. There's not much going on. Hoss Cartwright is the biggest baby born there, and that's about the most happening thing going on there.
Yeah, Dan Blocker, but he was
but so, we're going to be filming it, and I eventually want to turn this into like a training grounds, like an area where people can come and practice homesteading before they actually make the full dive into homesteading. Like, hey, come homestead on this place for a week, see what you think about it before you take in the full investment.
Well, you know, I know he's going to knock it out of the park. I mean, yeah, you should be nervous. That's a good thing. If you go out there willy-nilly, I mean, there's parts of this property that obviously are overgrown, probably robbed half to death. I mean, who even knows out there? You know, we bought it because it was messed up and it was cheap. So, you know, but you're going to hack it out of the wilderness, and you're going to have to do a lot of hard work. You're going to have to suck it up. You're going to have hardships, but you're going to also have some victories if you stay in there. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's the bottom line is I poured all the knowledge into you that you need, whether or not you just like a permaculture designer, you're going to pick and choose what you were taught, what you learned, and what works. So, yeah, I mean, y'all, it sucks, you know, to a certain extent that your family seems like it breaks up a little bit, but it isn't. I mean,
expanding.
Well, the thing is, you're only going to spread your wings so far when I'm calling the shots, all the shots. Now you get to call all the shots.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm a dictator. I'm just saying there can't be more than one captain on the ship. And, you know, now you get to go ahead and call everything. Now you get to go ahead and make every decision.
Yeah.
Whether good or ill, you'll learn from it. And yeah, so that's the big news, y'all. That's the real big thing that was going on right now.
Right.
Now,
but there isn't going to be like a cease to the pimp cast or the dad. And is mom doing it with you still?
Yeah, I think Michelle is going to do it with me.
Okay.
If not, look, y'all, I'm an old hand at this sort of thing. I was doing talk radio a while back.
The Permapastures Farm channel, the Patreon channel, all of that will continue. I'll continue editing for all that content and stuff like that. So none of that is going away.
Yeah. So all that stuff is going to keep driving on. Nothing's changing in that regard, but he will have a YouTube channel of his own. And
it's not released yet. There's nothing to subscribe to or anything like that. The reason behind that is because I don't have any content for the channel yet because we're not in Texas yet. So as soon as I start getting content, I'll start uploading it under the Permaculture Consultant. But I want to wait before I create those channels because they don't want to fully admit it, but you get like a 30-day boost on a bunch of platforms. Like your first 30 days of creating a channel or an account on Instagram or anything like that, you get a unnatural boost. So I'm trying to use that to the best I can.
Yeah, so you guys are getting an inside sneak peek of what's going on there now as far as around here. So that leaves me, Michelle, my niece, and we're going to have some plans coming up as well. And I want to show, here's another thing I'm looking forward to, is that so many people are getting into this space. And man, I really did not realize how many people that were my age. Okay, I'm 52 years old, okay? There's people my age and older, 70 years old, some of them, I think 72 was the oldest I had somebody reach out to me, that are just now getting into this space. And they're wondering, good night, man, I feel too old to do this. You're not too old. Mm-hmm. And I want to show you how a middle-aged person can do this, do it successfully, but do it smart, where you can learn from the mistakes that I made back when I was in my 30s, you know? So you can avoid a lot of those mistakes. So those are a lot of things that we're going to try to cover. Still going to have great content, not going to engage in any hyperbolic nonsense that a lot of the others are going out there. We're going to keep things the way they are, improve certain things, and try to do it even better. And it's going to afford it to a certain extent. It's also going to force us to be a little bit more efficient about how we do certain things around here. And we're already identifying places where you were inefficient. And that's one of my biggest frustrations, is I hate inefficiency, mostly in myself. So there's so many different things, so many different angles that are going to go on here, but also they're going to be going on out in Texas as well. So, so just stay tuned for that adventure, y'all. Anything else you want to say regarding all that?
I mean, keep us in your prayers if you can, please. I'm obviously very excited about the new adventure and everything like that, but it's different. Going on adventures before having like a wife and baby was a little bit different. Now there's a lot more pressure, which I think is a good thing.
I think it's really good for you because historically you do better, just like your old man, you do better under pressure. All of us, when things are rhythmic, we tend to become complacent, or we tend to maybe take things for granted or take advantage of certain things or not really see the whole thing. I think from time to time we need adventures, and now this is a new one for your mom and I.
Yeah.
So we got an adventure. Now we're going to get out here and do this stuff, find efficient ways to do these things. I mean, we know we can do it all, but honestly, I'm looking to be something of an inspiration, I think, for the middle-aged people out there that are looking at getting in this space and then thinking, I can't believe how many people are wondering, man, how can I do this? Look, we are on the side of a doggone mountain and we're doing this. It's so abundant that we got to give away food. I mean, literally giving away 3 pigs last year alone, and was struggling to figure out where to give them, give away all of our chickens. So I'm saying you can be so incredibly productive in a most massive way if you just kind of bring to bear all these tools in these toolboxes. So we're going to, if anybody has any questions for William when we come back from the break here.
Or just questions in general. It didn't have to be just for me.
Yeah, or questions in general. Yeah. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, go to Chef Snow, and when we come back, y'all, like I said, let them fly. That's why we're here.
Yep.
Hey, Chuck Keith Snow with your PimpCast tip of the day. And I want to talk turkey with you. Now, with Thanksgiving coming up, I want to give you a couple of quick tips. Number one, if you're using a frozen turkey, make sure it is into the refrigerator the Sunday before Thanksgiving. They can take a long time to thaw out. Now, the morning of Thanksgiving, whether I have a fresh turkey or a frozen one that has been defrosting, I remove it 7 a.m. in the morning and get it prepped for the roasting dish. The first thing I do is reach inside of the cavity and take out the bag of giblets and the neck. The contents of the bag and the neck go into a sauce pot with water. I simmer that for about 2 hours and use it later on in gravy. Now, speaking of the cavity, I do not recommend placing your stuffing or dressing inside the turkey. That only makes the cooking time a lot longer and produces really nasty, soggy, wet dressing. You're much better off cooking it in a baking dish on the side. Now, in order to get a moist turkey, you need to pull it from the oven when the thigh reaches 165 degrees. Do not wait until that silly pop-up thermometer pops up, because most of those don't pop until about 180 degrees, and your turkey will be very dry at that point. Definitely the breast will. Sometimes the legs will make it, but you don't want to wait for that. Get a simple probe thermometer and pull the bird at 165. And those tips should help you have a great turkey. The other thing is, do not bother basting it. Now, basting it is kind of what I would call an old wives' tale. I'm sure many of you are all mad right now, but the truth is, it does not make the turkey any browner or any more even by opening the oven a bunch of times during the cooking process, letting all the heat out of the oven to baste it. Now, I have cooked hundreds and hundreds of turkeys in restaurants, and we never basted a single one of them, and they came out beautifully brown and beautifully cooked. I do recommend, after about an hour and a half, spinning the turkey in the oven to help promote even cookery. So with that said, I hope you all have a fabulous Thanksgiving. I want to encourage those of you that enjoy cooking to head on over to harvesteating.com. You can check out my podcast there, and also my organic spices that have been on the market since 2011 are now back on sale. So go over to the Harvest Eating store and check those out. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody, including the giant team at Permapastures Farm.
All right, there's Chef Snow, but I got news for him, dude. For Thanksgiving, our tradition, we don't need turkey. Nope. We eat barbecue. That's how we do it.
I don't know that I've ever had a deep fried turkey. Have you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was it different?
I'll tell you what, smoked turkey actually tastes like ham to me.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't taste like ham, but it's a better version of turkey.
I mean, well, yeah, it's a better version. It's because of the smoke in it and the brine. It always tasted like ham to me. I like a smoked turkey. I've never been a big turkey fan to begin with.
Unless it's a turkey leg at the Renaissance Festival.
Well, I can put a hurting on that. Yeah. But I always asked my mom. I remember growing up, my mom wasn't the best cook in the world anyway. And I'd always ask, why are you basting this thing? How's it going to get through that skin? It never made sense to me, even as a kid. And of course, you get some answer. It didn't make any sense. But yeah, we don't do turkey. I mean, we haven't. That was a tradition I created years ago. I was like, look, man, I'm not going to sit here and eat traditional food because it's traditional to eat it. Let's come up with something we all want to eat. So we eat barbecue. I mean, like, we'll have this time out, I think it's going to be burnt ends, going to be some brisket, this and that. I usually make smoked potato salad. That stuff is off. Is there a better potato salad in this world?
No, I don't remember a single Thanksgiving where we had turkey. I don't think we ever gave that a shot.
I don't think
I was a baby.
No, you could smoke a turkey, I guess, but I mean, so that's kind of my thing, man. We do barbecue there. I know some people are going to hate my guts for that. Like, I love turkey, you arrogant. Yeah, dude, people are sick about that stuff. All right, y'all, this segment brought to you, the Q&A section, brought to you by the TexasBoys.com. They got a food forest in a box that'll knock your socks off. So go over there and check them out, getting 5% knocked off. Not only that, but everything else at the website. They got honey, which we got downstairs. Awesome. And they got some coffee.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we got some coffee, and they got all of it there, y'all. You can even look, you can buy steers, not steers, but you can buy meat and everything over there. They got it all. So go check them out at thetexasboys.com. You'll be glad you did. Use promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A.
And they're in Texas as well.
Yeah, they're going to be not far down the road from you.
Yeah.
So if they ever put together a festival down there, maybe you'll, you know, be a part of it or something.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, so we're going to jump straight into Q&A. So if anybody's got anything in the chat, feel free to, you know, let us know. Hit the thumbs up if you haven't already. But right off the bat, I got one from my man Sinclair. This is going right back to, hey, man, I'm in Port Chester, New York, and a follower, as you know. Basically, he just, I can't even tell you how many emails I got like this. He says, look, man, there's no shortages here of this kosher salt. If you want, I'll pick you up some Christmas gift. Yeah, you know, it's crazy because once upon a time during the Roman Empire, believe it or not, that's where salary came from. That the word salary, look, yeah, I got a lot of idiotic, useless trivia up here. Yeah, the way I remember it, if I remember it correctly, is that salary came from, you know, salinization, salt. And that's, believe it or not, there were some Roman soldiers that were actually paid in salt. So who knows, with as crazy as things are getting, that might actually be a legitimate Christmas gift.
Well, yeah, actually it would be. Got one from Pam's Garden, and this is in the live chat, y'all. Hi, guys. I wanted to let you know I received my comfrey that I ordered from you. The crown is sprouting really well. I was impressed with the packaging, directions, and especially the handwritten note.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, we try to add a little. First of all, thank you and thank everybody else out there for your business. We give a lot back. We don't really talk about that. Remember, Jesus said, you know, you make a big deal about it, you got your reward. But we do make good use of a lot of the money that comes in here. We're not the Rockefellers, not even close. Like I said, my best vehicle is 15 years old. So, I mean, yeah. Don't think for me, but we don't need much. That's the point I'm trying to get at. So thank you, everybody, for your purchase. And it means everything to us that we know you can spend your money anywhere. And honestly, I've said it before that if you got things out there if you're selling stuff, let everybody know, because honestly, this is how we don't feed the beast, is by doing business with one another. Let's do that. I'd rather hand my money and pay more for it. Just like I talked before many, many times about Hickory Ridge Soap. You know, they're friends of ours, awesome family friends. And, you know, I'd be happy to pay more for that soap. First of all, I know who made it. I know they care about what's in it. And honestly, at the end of the day, if you ever have a problem with something, you're not dealing with 10 down the line, 15 middlemen. You're going straight to the source 9 times out of 10 when you do business with one another. So yeah. Keep that in mind.
Got one from Hit'em 20. Question, we are property hunting. Any thoughts on properties that have acreage split by a public dirt road? So the public dirt road is going to be driving through the middle, maybe the middle of the property, but it's bisecting the property.
It depends. I mean, it may be, and I know that's not the answer you want to hear. Every time you say depends, it sounds like a cop-out, but that's a legit, honest answer. It really depends on so many different things. But if I was in a bind, if it was a good deal, because I bought some property in the past that you would say, dude, what are you thinking? What is wrong with you? Nobody would ever believe it. And honestly, that's the stuff. Hey, when you're poor, you take what you can and then you make something out of it that's worthwhile.
Yeah. I wouldn't let that be a deciding factor. Like the dirt road, like I wouldn't let it make or break the property. Especially if it's like a really good property for a good price, I wouldn't let that, you know, stop you from buying that.
Yeah. But at the same time, you could do it like a Greg Judy type thing where let's say, and I don't know how big your property is, but literally he'll do a cattle drive down the road.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that there's already built in access to your property.
Yeah. I mean, if it's just, hey, just holding everybody up for a little bit to get your animals from one side to the other, like I said, there's a lot of variables we don't know, but I don't know that that would necessarily be a bad thing for me.
Yeah. Dan Del Coyo says Chef Snow has a series of episodes on his podcast called Thanksgiving University. Some good tips there.
Yeah. Check out Chef Snow.
Yeah. Got one from Swan Branch, Bryant and Dewana. I bought the comfrey from you earlier this year. I think 8 out of the 14 came up and grew. Since we're going into winter, I'm in Virginia zone 6B. Should we mulch in the plants with compost? Advice?
Well,
I would say no.
No? Yeah. They're going to die back anyway as winter comes on, and then they're going to blow up. They're going to be putting down roots all through the fall and winter. When you get a couple of frosts, they're going to die back. And like I said, when they come out and you can mulch them, Yeah, it wouldn't hurt. I mean, actually, mulch might actually help a little bit.
Yeah, definitely wouldn't hurt, but I don't. It's not definitely not necessary for the comfrey. And also, it depends on where you have it planted. Like, if you have it planted in like a garden bed or something like that, then I wouldn't say it's necessary. But if you have it growing in grass, then it might be beneficial to keep that grass away from the comfrey while it's trying to pop up in the spring.
Just remember, if in doubt, always mulch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Texas boys say, I don't say depends anymore. I say Biden. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. That anyway.
I'm in the past on the live chat because I'm going through the questions. David Robbins says, hi guys from Japan. Just ordered the book One Straw Revolution. I'm still green behind the ears on gardening, but thanks to you guys, I'm feeling a lot more confident about planting things.
Yeah, that's my, if everybody says what books to read, that's always the one I send everybody to first. Because number one, it's an easy read. Number two, it is written in even though it's translated from Japanese, the prose of it and the way it's written and the poetic nature of it, I mean, they communicate fantastic points that are, this dude was permaculture before there was a permaculture, and he was dropping manhole covers of information. And, you know, there's an overall theme that you might even kind of look into modern day, because he really shoots a hole in the whole notion that you need a specialist for this, a specialist for that, all these other things, where that's what you really gain in permaculture. You understand relationships and patterns. And that's what Fukuoka, the genius Fukuoka, discusses, the overall arching theme in that book. So I recommend everybody check it out.
Jeff Snow says he's going to be sending you some of his Carolina barbecue seasoning.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the Texas boys, they're not a fan of turkey either, especially if you're on, that's another thing. When you're on the carnivore diet, poultry, I noticed, doesn't nearly sound good. It's and the
beef.
Reason
I wanted to eat beef all the time.
Well, the reason was is because it just didn't look like it had enough fat. And that, to me, that's what it felt like. It was like, that's going to be dry and just not enough fat. You know what I mean?
I just never been a fan of turkey in general. I'm like, man, there's too many things I do want to eat. So barbecue is always going to be my go-to. And like I said, my smoked potato salad, man, I'll put it up against anybody's, man. That was a recipe in the making for a long, long time. And I only make it several times a year. But yeah, I mean, but when I was doing that carnivore thing, I'm going to have to hit up TD over there at the Texas boys and ask them how they're doing it, man, because man, I'm not even going to kid you, dude. I was clogged up like a Lincoln Tunnel at rush hour.
Yeah, you get over it. That's one of those things where you got to just get through. But while I asked TD about that, and apparently he didn't have that issue.
Yeah, well, yeah. That sure happened with me.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get back on the carnivore before too long. Got one from Brett Kennedy. Where can I find the black locust saplings? I've been looking for them, but I haven't found any yet.
Okay, here's one of the things the black locust saplings. One thing you can do is a really cool method. If you can find a black locust, if you can go down there and get some of those roots, oh my goodness, there's a guy, I can't remember the name of it, but he's a permaculture channel, and it's a really cool thing where he was digging up the roots coming away from a black locust, right?
Yeah.
And he would find one that was generally growing straight. Now, I've never done this, but it looked like it was sound. He basically went back, got some of the roots from those things, and whatever root was growing toward the tree, he would take that root and then just transplant it again, and then he would get straight black locusts out of them.
Was he like a Dutch guy?
No, it's Abundance Acres, no. I think the name of it is. I think that's the name of it. I would go check out their information over there. I've never done it that way myself, but if you can find one black locust, I mean, that was one cool method that sounded like it was working out pretty well for him. I've never done it that way. I've done them by seeds. I've pulled up saplings. Yeah, there's a bunch of different ways you can go about it.
Okay, I see your comment, what you were laughing about earlier. I don't say depends anymore. I say Biden from the Texas boys.
That's right.
Yeah. One more rock. Billy, one thing I love about your channel is highlighting other people and their niche in homesteading. Niche? Did we decide on niche?
It's niche.
All right.
No, well, it depends on, some people say niche. Okay, check. First, we're going to talk about this niche thing, okay? When I was a kid growing up, it was always niche. The only people I ever heard say niche were people from California. Now, all of a sudden, it's become, you know, all the hipsters started saying niche, and then I wanted to just strangle somebody. So I'm like, okay, I was okay. So there's this old dictionary I came across. I'm like, your mom's like, I can't believe you're obsessing about this. So we were out in Hot Springs, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Went into this ice cream shop and they had this old dictionary. It was like a haberdashery kind of place. And I'm like, I'm going straight to the end section. I'm gonna find out how this thing's pronounced, because this dictionary was like, I don't know, 50 years old somewhere. No, it was older than that. It was actually, yeah, it was considerably older. And it was niche, not niche, niche. Now I done forgot the question. What was it?
Oh,
highlighting other channels.
Oh, yeah, it wouldn't. That was just a nice comment.
No, I appreciate that. But, you know, honestly, that was one of my biggest. I'm not a big fan of people that plagiarize, and I'm definitely not a fan of some of these channels.
The gatekeeping.
Well, there's that. There's the gatekeeping that goes on. But I'll tell you another thing I can't stand is when somebody will steal somebody else's information, this intellectual property, and then they'll pass it off as their own.
Yeah.
Even though you know where they got it from. If I had a nickel for all the information that has been taken from Stefan Subkowiak, I mean, Mark Shepard, all these others, because I've read all their works and I've been through their programs. And then when I hear somebody else do it and they don't lay it, man, I am so thankful for the instructors I've had. And the least I can do is give them. And that's why if anybody out there has a channel and they're doing great things, I want to let everybody know about it. Because like you said, son, there's a certain level of gatekeeping that goes on around here. I don't care if I'm third place. I'm not into it for that, man. I just want to evangelize this magnificent design science. And above all that, give the Lord all the credit for it. And along all the way is that a rising tide lifts all ships. So yeah, I try to spread everybody who's been a blessing to me, anybody that's been helped to me. I don't play that gatekeeping thing, and I definitely can't stand the plagiarism. And there, believe it or not, there is a lot of it that goes on. So to the other YouTube channels out there, please cite your references. Cite your references. It's, you know, like somebody was saying, I remember I got a little bit of criticism about going on about Sean and Beth Doherty. And I was like, I don't get this. What, you know, of course I'm going to give them
like giving
credit.
Them. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For what we do, because what we do is a spinoff of what they've done. And we found that intermediate step between buying food off the shelf and being totally self-sufficient. So it's like that semi-homemade channel that used to be on Food Network with Sandra Lee, where some stuff was, and I thought it was a really cool channel. And I was like, okay, there's got to be some transition point between buying the stuff off the shelf and being totally self-sufficient. So is anybody covering that space in between?
Right.
Nobody was covering that. And I'm like, okay, well, I know what that's like because I'm in that space. So let me go ahead and cover that and show, okay, here's a transition point from start to finish. And yeah, somebody could say, well, it's a, you know, you might've developed this, but it was inspired by them. That's why I try to tell everybody, go check them out because there's a lot of great information over there.
Got one from DHT Nursery/Farm. Just got a 5-gallon bucket of blood. I heard you say to mix it with your bone sauce. Last year, your bone sauce worked great, and I got more this year. How much blood should I need to add?
For anybody out there, when your bone sauce and your, if you got some bone sauce, there's already a little bit of blood in there. The number one thing that scares away the deer for this stuff is definitely going to be those bones and the charred nature of it, okay? So with that said, I mean, there's a lot of other things, not a lot, but there's just a handful of other things in there. So if you want to kick it up a little bit more, if it's not quite doing what you want, yeah. As far as the amount of blood, I'm going to say you could even go up to as much as half and half. I wouldn't go quite that much. It might dilute it down a little bit too much. But I would add, okay, so if you're using 8 ounces of bone sauce, I'd use 4 ounces of blood with that. It seems to get the job done and still keep it thick enough to where you can paint it on. And by the way, anybody needing bone sauce, sorry, y'all, I'm in a transition period right now. We got a higher fire danger, and I can't make anybody. I know people are blowing me up for this stuff, but folks, I'm not going to have to do it, and I'm not going to sell you anything if I can't source all the materials I need. And right now, I'm having trouble with one of the things that I use, but more importantly, the fire danger is so doggone high right now. Yeah. I set the whole mountain on fire, so I just got to hold off until it rains.
Got one from Valley Parks. Tennessee has a new law that you can spray paint a boundary that's like a fence or a no trespassing sign is as good as a fence. Orange is good as a fence. Orange shotgun. LOL. So apparently you can spray paint your boundary lines in Tennessee now. And that's just as good as a fence for trespassing and whatnot.
Oh, okay. I was like, yeah. Deer ain't going to care.
Got another one from OE1. Not Obi-Wan. OE1. Colnobi. OE1 Colnobi. Black alder is also a good tree to fix nitrogen. It associates with different bacteria than most plants and produces pods of nitrogen on the roots. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of good options out there, especially, you know, we're talking about things that work here in North Carolina usually, but you're going to have your version of it, let's say, in Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, New York. It doesn't matter. You're always going to have all seven layers of a forest. You just got to find out what your seven layers are, and it shouldn't be that hard to find. Homesteading pastors in the house. Thank you so much, Pastor Lon.
Yeah.
He's been a blessing. Folks, I mean, that's the hardest working man I know. I ain't never seen somebody in my life wear so many hats. Him and Miss Robbie are wonderful people. Like I said, go check them out. A lot of other folks in here too, man, that are really fantastic people. That's one of the beautiful things about doing this is getting to know a lot of you guys and gals like William Zegley. He's in here.
Yeah.
Got to hang out with him in person.
Kevin Frazier in here.
Kevin Frazier, yeah.
The most fun interview I've ever done.
Yeah.
And he wants to know, do you have plan on having Callie Blackwell back?
Yeah. Actually, I'm working on getting her son on, you know, the kid that was actually 1 foot in the grave, 3 days, what they say, 3 days to live for this kid. He's alive. And I got his contact information. I'm going to try to get him on the show. Yeah, I heard him in another interview before. Now, they come from the land where English was created. So I'm going to suggest that he speaks a little bit on this show. That cockney accent,
hard accent.
Yeah. I mean, bro, some of these English people
sound Australian again.
Yeah. Hey, I can understand a lot of guys in the hood more than I can understand some of these English people. So I'm going to tell him, hey, homie, on this show, you're going to have to speak English, American English, Jack.
Man.
So no, I'm working on getting him on here. I'd love to have Callie back. So she told me you guys have inundated her in a good way.
Yeah.
For all the people that were suffering from some of these. Look, man, she ain't worried about following the rules or the laws. I mean, bottom line is if she can heal people and get folks what they need. Like I said, I lost my nephew to brain cancer, the very same brain cancer that a guy named Cody healed with the very same stuff that was illegal at the time. Cody healed himself of glioblastoma, brain cancer. They took out a tumor in his brain the size of my fist, gave him no time to live. He started making this cannabis oil. Now, I'm not for mind-altering anything, but if it's what he had to do for a little while to get himself where he ain't going to die, then I guess he'd have to do what he had to do. But they were wanting to put him in jail for all the people that he's helped to cure some of this stuff, man. They probably just flagged us anyway as soon as I said all that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't care. I mean, they done demonetized every video we done put out so far as for the last several weeks. So why not just add the next one to it?
Valley Parks wants to know, what are y'all doing with all that comfrey? Everything.
Yeah, everything, y'all. I mean, the truth of it is, I mean, anybody that ever comes here, man, you'll find out we're doing exactly what we say. We use a bunch of it to feed our animals. We'll make comfrey hay out of it. So we're giving them that in the form. They're going to get protein and all kinds of good stuff through the winter. We use it for composting, which I'm about to put another pile together here before long. It's a dynamic accumulator, so it does everything. We use it for mulching. Despite all the comfrey that goes out this door, we cannot grow enough of it. But what I'm trying to do, I want to make us irrelevant. And I said this from the very beginning when we started selling this. I want comfrey to be so ubiquitous that we can't sell it. That's what I want. Because honestly, if we get to that point, there was once upon a time in the United States of Amnesia where people were growing entire fields of this stuff. And then all of a sudden, like the cannabis plant, all of a sudden the powers that shouldn't be demonized it along with a number of other things, even though the Constitution is written on this stuff. Not comfrey, but cannabis, or hemp, whatever the case may be. You know, I can sit here and, you know, the best rope I ever made. I made rope. I make rope. best rope I ever made is hemp. And you're telling me people can't grow this stuff? Yeah, maybe the powers that shouldn't be one is thick and dead and all the other things.
Keepers of the Old Ways was asking, and somebody else had asked this earlier, what was the name of the business you mentioned for bulk buying? That was Hayes Food Products, H-A-Y-E-S, Hayes Food Products. They're based out of South Carolina. So yeah, you can usually, their prices change day to day because it's, and it's fresher than anything you can get in the store. They have fresher like beans and dry goods and stuff like that than you can get in the store. But you can buy 100-pound bags, 70-pound bags, but they're, call them ahead of time before you get there because their prices do change, you know.
Well, it's not just that either. They have some weird business practices, not to try to be, here's the deal. Now, they serve, I didn't know beans had different grades. I mean, I thought a pinto bean was a pinto bean. When you go there, you find out that they're selling the high-end beans that they can only sell to restaurants and stuff. But you can get it, but you got to buy it in bulk. And like I said, they sell them in 100-pound bags, and we were getting it for like 30-some. I mean, I did a side-by-side. I might have even done a video on it. Side-by-side comparison of what it cost at Hayes Foods compared to what it was per pound at Sam's. It was unbelievable.
What that 100-pound bag of pintos was it $40?
I think it was $30-some bucks.
I just rounded up. But that was the more expensive bean I thought that they had.
Yeah, but I think other places around you may have their version of such a thing. But yeah, they were. I mean, we rolled back at it. I ain't gonna go through how much we got, but basically we got a bunch for a lot of the other folks that are around here as well.
It's one of those places where they expect you to already know like what's going on there. Like it's a warehouse with a small office in the front that you kind of go deal with the secretaries real quick, and then you drive over to the warehouse and you'll see the smallest Mexican dudes throwing these 100-pound bags like they're nothing.
Yeah, well, them Batos working for them beads, boy. They like, hey man, you gonna pay me a bean? No, hey, also I think they handle only cash.
I think
they only operate on cash. Yeah. Which is my kind of business because Uncle Sam don't need to know what I'm doing anyhow. So
Donna, go check them out. Oh, Donna Olenberger. Old gardening books talk about planting cannabis around the outside of the garden as a trap crop in multiple books. It's also a dynamic accumulator for like chop and drop.
You know what? Another good thing for that cannabis is, first of all, Don is 100% correct. A lot of other people are using, it could be a really good hedgerow to a certain extent for all the things. Let's say you got neighbors that are spraying and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never grown the stuff. In fact, it's illegal to even grow here in North Carolina.
It's called weed though. Like it grows everywhere in the world. There are legal versions that you can buy. Like you can buy sun hemp. You can't, like sun hemp just grows outside.
Well, sun hemp I grow. I mean, sun hemp I have actually.
Yeah, I mean, you can do this. That's a dynamic accumulator too. If you're worried about like the any legal issues, then just grow that.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's a holler or two up here in these mountains where some of these eight generation hillbillies, man, I'm sure they got some two-story bubonic chronic growing up in these hills somewhere. And these are the kind of boys where, trust me, you ain't just gonna walk in there and get it.
You mean to tell me they can't repair their house, but they can grow two-story weed? They got perennial weed over here in these mountains, y'all. Got one from Oiwan Colnobi, now that I know how to say it. Have you thought about switching to Rumble? It's like YouTube, but has freedom of speech. We are actually on Rumble. It gets just automatically uploaded whenever we upload something to YouTube. But Rumble is a weird one to crack. It's you almost got to get promoted from it.
Yeah, downside with Rumble is, I mean, I heard that you got to go there live. They don't really. Yeah, our stuff is backed up over there. But honestly, right here is where there's a way to simulcast it here and on Rumble. And Jack Spearco does it. He's a friend of mine, so I need to reach out to him and find out exactly how that's done. But when he broadcasts, he's basically doing it on several platforms all at the same time. So, so we're definitely over there. It's just the platform's a little bit weird. But if you got freedom-related content, I mean, you can usually get it out over there.
Got one from Palm Lou. Do you buy your chicks to replenish your flock, or do you let the girls sit on their eggs?
Well, that's a good question. We don't let them sit because of the movement we do. Now, in a static system, which we're going to basically lean into for the winter, because that's one of the downsides of running your chickens behind your stock out in the field, is that through the winter, it's not a really great time to put chickens out there if you're going to use them in the pasture. And the number one reason why has to do entirely with the fact that they're tearing up things and it's not going to repair itself in time. You could do it, but it's better. You could take the Salatin way of doing things and you can put them in the greenhouse and leave them in there and let them, you know, overwinter in a place like that. So there's a bunch of different ways to go about it. There's a whole bunch of different methods I want to start doing, and I'm starting to think it might be out of necessity. We do have some broody birds, but every time they get broody, I don't let them sit on the eggs because we're on the move. These guys are constantly moving, but I'm going to go ahead and let them go ahead and maybe hatch out some, you know, coming up pretty soon.
Keepers of the Old Ways ask, have y'all seen that they have changed the planting zones?
Yeah, doesn't surprise me. Well, the Russians came out with this. Danny at Deep South has talked about it a number of times. The Russians had come out years ago and basically said all this global warming stuff is a bunch of nonsense. And they said this back in the 50s. And they said, look, the trend is for cooling. And they predicted that we were heading towards an ice age. And as I recall, that everything at about the 33rd parallel will now be the newest grain belt. So anybody above the 33rd parallel, this is something that the Russians came up with years ago, or basically made known to the world. And some people say we're going into a solar minimum. I mean, look at what happens in Iceland right now. All this volcanic stuff, all these volcanoes going crazy throughout the world. Well, that's something that happens when you have a solar minimum.
Isn't something going on in Guatemala too?
Yeah.
Their volcanoes?
Yeah. So it's honestly wondering if that's just part of the cycle, or is this part of that other cycle where there's earthquakes in diverse places? You dig? Matthew 24. I'll leave it up to you to figure that one out.
Yeah. Buck says George Washington grew hemp and it was essential for the success of the young country. Yeah, it was. And I bet, you know, there's multiple reasons to grow hemp, and it's another, I mean, the same reason is that it's a dynamic accumulator, so it's only going to leave the soil better, especially if you just chop and drop it, or not even drop it, but if you just chop it off at the base.
You know, that's the problem, is that all the things that are really, really, man, there's people out there smoking everything but their socks, and they're going to do it either way. I'm not promoting it, I'm not for it, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, the medicinal qualities, okay, you know what? There's devil's trumpet growing out down there in that field. Yeah. Okay. Which one is more dangerous?
By far the devil's trumpet.
The devil's trumpet, man. You can do some really, I ain't going to go through it here. It's certainly not in this thing. Devil's trumpet alone, first of all, is one of the weirdest plants you'll ever see. It blooms under moonlight, and all these whack jobs do some pretty crazy stuff in their rituals around here. I've talked a little bit about it on Patreon.
Yeah.
And they were cultivating this stuff. It will give you the most ghastly whatever, but nobody's got a problem with people growing that.
Yeah, it's something. It's like some weird satanic ritual where you expose yourself to all these different like plant toxins and stuff like that, and you're supposed to build up an immunity to it eventually. I don't know. That's all just of the devil.
Yeah, ain't playing none of that stuff. Yeah, devil's trumpet. That's what it is. Cans. Yeah, it's called devil's trumpet. Yeah, it's some. My point being is that they're going to put the brakes on things for a while. There was like things like comfrey and hemp and all these other things that have incredible value in your landscape and otherwise. But like I said, you got, and I'm just using one example. Do you know how many you want to murder somebody? There's plenty of stuff up in those woods you could do it with.
Yeah.
Things that are far more harmful than any of these other things. Like I said, you got no shortage of hooter bandits running around right now. And no way am I going to encourage anybody to do any of that stuff. But there are medicinal qualities where you're telling me this kid got 3 days to live. She gives him hemp, and now he's on the mend. I know a kid. I know this guy. This ain't somebody I heard about. I did my first permaculture design class with this dude.
Wasn't there a guy at the Earthship thing too?
I don't know about him, but I know at the permaculture design thing that I went through, the first one, this kid, he was messed up on one side of his body because they messed up a bunch of nerves when they took this giant baseball-sized tumor out of his brain. gave him no chance. He heard about cannabis oil, made some of this really, really strong stuff, cured himself of the world's worst brain cancer. And I knew this guy, and I knew him. My nephew died of the same exact brain cancer. And I wonder how many other people would be around right now if a lot of this stuff was allowed to see the light of day. And that's just one, a very short list. Look, I mean, they got their sources. Look, they got carburetors that go 100 miles an hour or 100 gallons.
Or 100 miles 100 per gallon. 100
miles on a gallon, and they've been leaving it on the shelf forever and a day. Okay, they've been buying up the patents and putting it off. Same thing, and then the people that come up with these patents, they wind up dead. And the same thing happens to all these doctors that come up with these cancer treatments that are 100% foolproof, whether it's through one thing I heard about was frequency. Another thing, using high doses of cannabis oil and some of these other things. All these people have been helped. Using, you know, what I'm discovering about like frequencies. They're saying King David's harp was tuned. Okay, this is a little freaky, little side note. I'll just jump in this real quick. I know we're going a little bit long, but I'm just going to point this out there, y'all. And this is, go do the research for yourself. All the music you hear on the radio, and I don't care where it comes from, it's tuned to 440 hertz. Okay, prior to that, before 1938, you had Hitler's propaganda minister, whatever his name is. He basically got the known civilized world together and decided, I think in 1937, that they were going to change the music frequency from whatever it was to 440 hertz. Well, what are we, and hertz is a frequency, okay? So what happened? They get out there, change this frequency, knowing full well that 440 hertz is a very, very dissonant tone. And the people in France weren't going along with it. They were like, I don't think I'm going down for this. But everybody else did. Well, that was 1937. 38, 39, you know what happened? Well, we get into World War II. Now, does one have anything to do with the other? I don't know. But anyway, the healing frequencies, what we think, what some people think that King David's harp was tuned to, you know, the thing that soothed Saul, they suspect was 444 hertz or 528. I can't remember. There's a number of different healing modalities and frequencies. Mike Adams about cut off his finger, and he used tuning forks to heal. And part of that is using some of these tuning forks that are tuned to 440 hertz.
And some of the
528.
Some of the psalms at the beginning of them always, like some of them say, like, to the tune of such and such. And it, like, I always kind of wondered, like, what, I wonder what that song sounded like.
You know, frequency of those trumpets when, you know, Joshua and them took over Jericho that knocked those walls down? I mean, the point being is that there are healing modalities that we know exist. People have done incredible work on it. Like that one doctor or that one man, I think he won a Nobel Prize for his work with water, that Japanese researcher that found out, you know, took a bunch of different water flasks and wrote the word, like wrote hate on one bottle of water, wrote love on another one. All the ones that were dissonant, they froze it, looked at it under the microscope. This is just writing the word on the bottle. And look what happened. And if you look at all the ones that had hate on there, it was just like misformed. Things didn't make sense. All the ones that had peace, love, harmony, bliss, joy, all of those things, when they looked at them under the microscope, perfect crystals. So just like it says in the book of James and even in the book of Revelation that your words have power, well, they also, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So I'm trying to be better these days at what comes out of my mouth. So I'm saying all that regarding, I'm hopefully weaving this thing into something that makes sense. The point is that there are all these healing modalities, and I just kind of gave you the cliff notes of what we're finding out concerning frequencies. Do you think maybe there's a lot of other things in there, whether it be cannabis oil or some of these other things? Folks, that's why I'm looking for these alternative means. That's why I'm talking about grounding yourself, putting your feet on the soil, putting your hands down in the soil. Okay? You were meant to have contact with the earth. Okay? Other things like getting sun, that vitamin D. All the pills in the world ain't going to replace what's coming out from the sky. Okay? All of you are supermen and superwomen. You just got to get access to this stuff. Don't mean a monologue here, but honestly, this is one of the things that's been burning me up to no end, because the more and more I find out, the more research I do. I know people watch ball games or whatever else. What I do with what little spare time I do have is I research. That's what I do for fun. I want to know the bottom line of some of these healing modalities, and I'm doing the best I can to pass it on to many of you out there. Hey, I want to thank everybody for coming in tonight. Thanks everybody in the chat. Look, y'all, it's a joy to hang out with you. It's a real joy to do this podcast. Sorry we didn't get to everybody out there, y'all. But thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive. They got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. Woo! They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to spin up with the center of the next is me. They want me to work out, but I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I will never let out, because I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. They want me to work out, but I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior.